I'm Joe Longo.
I'm Mariah Schaefer.
And I'm Jason Yu, and we're the 2017 Roger Ebert Fellows at the University of Illinois. We're covering the 19th annual Roger Ebert Film Festival.
Heading into the weekend, Eberfest is taking over town. We are a third of the way through the film screenings held at the Virginia Theater.
Roger Ebert's an alum who grew up in Urbana and founded the festival in 1998. Ebert passed away in 2013.
And what's really cool is that his wife Chaz Ebert and longtime festival director Nate Cohn still continue his vision today in showcasing new and classic films.
So this year they range from the 1920s silent film Verite, accompanied by a live orchestra, to an erotic thriller from South Korea, The Handmaiden, which we saw last night.
And the festival wraps up with a screening of the Cole Porter biography The Lovely on Sunday afternoon. That's 11 feature films in 5 days, plus all sorts of panels and events.
And the panels are close. They're held at the Hyatt Place Hotel, about 2 blocks away from the Virginia Theater. And they center around one of Roger and Chaz's favorite concepts, cinema as a machine that generates empathy.
Yeah, so the opening night screening was Hair, the 1979 musical that's based on the Broadway play set in 1968 about the Vietnam War and the hippie movement.
When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, Age of Aquarius.
What was it like watching in the Virginia Theater?
I had a great time watching this film, mostly because of the fact that it was on 35mm film. I liked that aspect of it, how it was so vintage, and I had this whole expectation of it while watching. And my favorite part of viewing here on 35mm and that big screen was the time that like the film sort of burned, and everyone sort of gasped, and there was this whole like panic in the theater, and
I almost thought it was like intermission for some random reason.
Yeah, and I just really loved the effect of like that streak and the little burn, and to know that that was actually 35mm, it wasn't some digital reenactment of what it was like for film to burn. It was just really cool.
And then Jason, didn't you have, for a different film screening, didn't you have an interesting experience looking at film?
Yeah, actually, before we jump into that, going back to Mariah's point of the burn, right? So James Bond, who's the projectionist up in the projection booth, made a comment about in all his years of, you know, fixing projectors, building projectors, and being a projectionist, he had never seen that problem happen before. And the problem was there was a microcontroller switch that flipped and caused the film to have a break in it, and thus the effect we saw last night. I guess the backstory behind that was they had anticipated this problem prior to, and so they had to go back to Chicago and get the specific part. And James Bond was 5 minutes away when the film blip happened, and so they were able to fix it with only about like a 3 minute delay, which was great. I did spend an hour in the projectionist booth, and it was crazy just seeing both projectors running simultaneously. It's kind of this beautiful cinematic dance, right? Because you have one projector with one reel, and then there's about 7.5 seconds before you have to flip to the other reel. And then, have you guys seen those like tiny blips every once in a while that come on about every 16
yep.
minutes or so? So those blips are indicators of when you should switch over from one projector to another. And they kind of give the projectionist signals of, okay, now I should hit this button to like switch over to projection two. Or now it's time to load the second reel in. And so it's cool because it's kind of a secret code. I guess that goes on along with the James Bond theme, right? A secret code within the film.
I appreciated seeing it. When we were during the panel, so following Hair, there was a panel with the first assistant director, Michael Hausman, and the producer, Michael Butler. And they talked about how the film is inherently political and almost sort of, you know, an anti-war statement in some ways. And so it was an interesting experience having them explain that to us and answer some, you know, Q&A questions from the audience about what that means. Moira, what did we see the next day?
Okay, so the next day, the first screening was 1 p.m. It was a screening of the 2011 film called Hysteria. It's a film, let's see, how do I describe it? It's a romantic comedy set in Victorian England, and it's about the invention of the first vibrator.
According to your diagnosis, hysteria seems to cover everything from insomnia to toothache.
It's nothing
more than a catch-all for dissatisfied women. Women forced to spend their lives on domestic chores and their prudish and selfish husbands who are unwilling or unable to make love to them properly or often enough.
You seem to have strong opinions on husbands for a woman who doesn't have one.
Look, if you don't believe me, ask your patients.
And it's really funny.
And what I appreciated about it was it took a topic, the invention of a vibrator. You know, it's an uncomfortable topic, of course, but it found some, you know, some weight and some emotion in it. And they didn't, you know, make it kitschy or, squeamish, or, you know, they didn't lean into that, which would have been so easy to do. They really formulated a story around it. Did you see that?
Yeah, I felt the same way. I liked the strong focus on women's rights. And I think that in the panel afterwards, Hugh Dancy even said that watching the film, it's like you're watching so many films in one in terms of all the topics that it covers through the storyline of the invention of the vibrator.
Yeah, it was, you know, I almost felt like having seen Hair and then went to see Hysteria, it was a similar, it was about the suffragette movement. So there was an interesting parallel and, you know, we're seeing these films with different decades of, you know, different social and political movements. And I think that also is slightly noticed in a different way in The Handmaiden, which was the final screening last night. It's a 2016 film. The director is Park Chan-wook. It's from South Korea, and it's about, you know, it's this erotic thriller about this handmaiden who isn't exactly a handmaiden, I guess is the best way to describe it without giving much away. What did you think, you know, how that film compared to seeing Hysteria and the other films this weekend?
I thought it was the most intense film out of all three. In terms of like how serious it was and also the whole experience, like I never pictured myself seeing a film like that with thousands of people next to me, you know?
Yeah, I kind of appreciate that some of these films have, you know, Chaz always talks about these themes of empathy, kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And these films so far in the festival have really showcased that. Jason, have you seen, you know, do you have an example of a film that you really thought exemplified this idea of empathy that, you know, is kind of dominating the film festival?
Yeah. Well, first of all, empathy is this word we keep on hearing again and again and again. It's
yeah, it just never dies.
No, especially not in this year's Ebert Fest. I think Hair is incredibly timely and really showcased empathy in the fact that you have this Vietnam War draftee who meets and befriends this band of hippies, and, you know, despite this unorthodox relationship, he steps into their life and takes on, you know, their perspective. And I think it's incredibly timely right now because Hair came out about the time when America was in conflict after the Vietnam War, and it's incredibly relevant to our time as our political state is very tense and there's a lot of internal conflict within the United States. So, like you were saying before, it's cool to view these older films through the modern day perspective and really see how culturally relevant they still are.
Yeah, so I'm personally excited to see being there. It's Screen Saturday, and it's this 1979 film came out in the same period as Hair, and it's about a borderline autistic man played by Peter Sellers who rises to the top of the American political system. And it's, you know, it just seems like, for me, I have not seen the film. So I'm interested in these, you know, and how Eberfest can bring in these films that are old and still make them what I hope to be relevant and timeless to a degree.
Yeah, and here's the clip of Being There.
What do you mean he's got no background? That's impossible.
Listen to that boy.
Mr. Gardner, the New York Times spoke of your peculiar brand of optimism. What was your reaction to that?
I do not know what it means.
Ho, 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 he was very clever, keeping it at a third grade level. That's what they understand.
So again, that's Being There, which screens Saturday night at 8:30. The special guest for Being There is Caleb Deschanel, the cinematographer. Mariah, is there any other films that you're, you know, you're particularly excited about seeing?
I'm looking forward to the festival coming full circle, because we started the opening night with a musical, Hair, and we're ending with another musical, The Lovely. Here's a clip.
I have heard among this clan, you are called the Forgotten Man.
Well, did you ever? Huh? What a swell party this is. Have you heard that Mimsy Star just got pinched in the Astor Bar?
Well, did you ever? What a swell party this is.
The Lovely is going to play at 11 a.m. on Sunday.
So I'm most excited for tonight's screening. The movie is called Elle. The big draw for that film, and it's probably the, you know, the biggest draw of the weekend, is because the lead actress is Isabelle Huppert, and she's the special guest. She was just nominated for a Academy Award for Best Actress for this performance, and it also seems to fit into some of these, you know, political, cultural films that have also shown, as we've discussed. So, Jason, you know, where can we find tickets?
Yeah, so tickets are available at eberfest.com under Tickets and Passes. Individual tickets are still available.
And for Illinois Public Media, I'm Mariah Schaefer, here with Joe Longo and Jason Yu. Thanks for listening.